You're watching Notepad, and I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We are heading towards the end of the year, and we'd like to do a quick check on what has happened over the past 2019, as well as try to understand a little better what's going to happen in 2020 in the realm of technology, enterprise, resource planning, and more. Today, joining me is Epicor. He is Vincent Tan, Regional Vice President of Epicor. They are entrenched in the realm of enterprise resource planning, and they provide flexible solutions for their clients all over the world, as well as here in Malaysia. Vincent is in Kuala Lumpur to have a chat with us about the plans of the company, as well as trends of the industry moving forward. Again, Vincent, thanks again for spending time with us. Let's talk a little bit about Epicor per se. What do you guys do and what are your core competencies?
Yes, what Epicor doing is really about growth, helping the SME company to adopt the technology in order to make them more competitive, more productive, and to grow the business.
The trend, of course, right now is on cloud rather than on premises. How has that shift been for Epicor?
Yes, cloud is become more popular nowadays. But having said that, we don't want to limit our customer on cloud solution only. So what Epicor is doing is to offer a choice for the customer to choose whether they want to run the software on-prem or to run the software on cloud. So it depends on different country, different culture, and they can choose their own choice.
Based on your, experience doing this, what would drive one company to choose on-premises enterprise resource planning ERP solutions versus on-cloud?
Yes, it depends on really the size of the IT team and whether they want to maintain the system in-house or they want to put it in a data center so that the supplier can handle everything and the maintenance and the upgrade for the customers.
The challenge also comes from big multinationals from America, from China. When we have Amazon Web Services, when we have Tencent, Alibaba, whatever, have you try to come in and try to take away some of the slice of the pie? How do you negate, or how do you navigate with these kind of competition in the market?
Yeah, actually we don't compete with each other. We try to leverage the technology, the internet, the environment, so that we can actually offer more choice for the customer, be it on-prem or be it on cloud.
Of course, you were mentioning that SMEs or mid-sized corp would be some of the key components for your business. Let's talk about the growth of mid-sized corp.
Yes.
Bain & Co. very recently published a report talking about the size of mid-sized corporates in Southeast Asia per se. Yep. The companies that they focused on in this report includes Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Thailand, as well as Indonesia. And the size of mid-corp growth has grown from strength to strength over the past decade. And the projection is it's going to hit $1 trillion investments hitting 2025, which is just 5 years away.
Yes.
Because of this, do you think that there is a necessity for SMEs to really think hard about how they manage their enterprise resource planning solutions?
Yes. In general, in the market, different countries have a different adoption level of ERP.
Okay.
And most of our customers, actually, they're not first time using ERP. But when they start small, they buy the local ERP software with a much more competitive price.
Uh-huh.
But when they grow from the small company to the mid-sized company, and the requirement is actually different.
Yeah.
And with that, they are looking for a replacement of their existing ERP to a better ERP software that can support their global expansion to grow the business.
Okay, let's talk about that switch, right? When you have a company that is in the market to go for a switch, how do you, talk to these kind of companies to try and entice them to choose you over the other competitors?
Yeah, it's really about, the marketing, how we can provide the...
How do you provide? How do you, for instance, there is an SME here in Kuala Lumpur selling, fabric. How do you talk to them?
Yeah, what we normally do in Epicor is we do marketing event Say, for example, we provide seminar to the industry association, and we promote the software in the internet environment.
Yeah, how do you promote? Like, the promotion done?
Yeah. Say, for example, the manufacturing association, they have a lot of members, right? And most and the member is actually a manufacturing company itself. So what they do is they hold a regular seminar to talk about technology, and Epicor being invited to talk about, say, for example, the hottest topic about digital transformation, Industry 4.0, where they can see Epicor face, they can understand from Epicor what the solution is about, and if they interest, and then we can talk.
Okay, the problem with these kind of companies is that they are good in what they do, and they've been doing this for quite some time. They're not startups. They've been doing this for like even generations, to be frank. But they don't know IT.
Yep.
They don't know, let alone Industry 4.0 and all the other jazz, right? They don't know how to set up their own emails.
Yep.
How do you cross that bridge from this brick and mortar company mindset to a technologically savvy company?
Yeah, that is a great question. Actually, this is not easy, I would say. But what Epicor does is to work with the industry association and also work with the semi-government body who actually provide the grant to this SME for ERP automation. And of course, the other trend we see today is actually the second generation actually coming up to take up the business for their father or the mother business, where most of them actually are well-educated. Some of them actually study overseas. They are very open-minded, and they're open for technology.
And they have social media accounts. That helps?
Exactly.
All right. And because of this shift, you're going to see it a bit easier talking to this second generation as opposed to the first generation. Okay, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Epicor about SME growth in the realm of ERP. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for staying on with us. We are speaking with Epicor, a company coming in from Hong Kong, but they are global in their business. We're talking about enterprise resource planning, particularly in the realm of SMEs. Very recently, Martrade have come on this show and talked about the idea of how Malaysian SMEs are not exporting enough. In fact, 80% of businesses in Malaysia, close to 90% even, are SMEs, but they accumulate about 10 to 15% amount of exports. The rest, about 85%, are being exported by MNCs. The question here is on manufacturing in Malaysia as well as in around Southeast Asia and how they can maximize their business moving forward. One solution is, of course, IT. So, Vincent, let's talk about the manufacturing sector in this part of the world. China, of course, is engrossed with this trade tussle with America. And a lot of companies and a lot of countries are now talking about taking the opportunity moving forward. Vietnam, Indonesia are two countries that are aggressively trying to make their SME sector become more export-oriented. And Malaysia is no different. Martrade, of course, is trying to push forward for Malaysian SMEs to be exporters. How do you think getting a little bit more technologically savvy with SME companies, how can that help them be more productive and be more brave in them being exporting their goods and services outside?
Yeah, I see the trend in manufacturing. It's really, they are not really just having a one factory in one location, right? For example, in China, the labor cost is very high now, and also it's very difficult to attract talent and retain talent. So what they have done is really to move the manufacturing plant outside China to country in Southeast Asia, say for example, Vietnam, Indonesia, Malaysia here, so that they can lower the labor cost. But because of that, they actually need not a local solution, but it's a global solution where it can support multi-language and also localization in different countries. And this is how Epicor can help them.
Okay, with multi-languages as well as hyper-local information that can come from the IT solutions, what would be some of the challenges like laying forward for companies adopting this kind of technology?
Yeah, the challenge has a few. First is to attract and retain the talent, because in manufacturing environment is, you know, people, young people like technology, like nice place to work. Yeah. So this is a challenge of the manufacturing company.
So young people don't want to be working, sweating it out in like factories.
Yeah.
They like to sit in a studio huh? Yeah. With lights, camera and action talking to you.
In fact, I see a lot of manufacturers, they actually have been very creative.
Yeah.
Even though the manufacturing area, they make it more like an office area nowadays.
Okay.
And with the technology, the system has to be user-friendly.
Yeah.
And people like user-friendly system rather than the old one.
Yeah.
Or the manual work.
Yeah.
The other one is a really labor shortage. I would say in certain countries, say for example in China, when I joined Epoch in 1999, the monthly salary for a worker was like $30 US.
Okay.
Right? But if you look at the salary for today, it's like 20 times higher. But yet, it's still difficult to find talent.
Okay. Vincent, a lot of companies don't like me because I'm a champion for higher wages. And I say in Malaysia, right? In Malaysia, officially the minimum wage is 1,100 ringgit. That's about $400 US.
Yeah.
All the business owners that come here, they complain about higher wages and all that. And every time I ask them, you know, it's not cheap living in Hong Kong or Singapore, but it's not cheap either living in Kuala Lumpur. Maybe somewhere else outside of Malaysia, outside of Kuala Lumpur, it might be cheaper, but Kuala Lumpur is not that cheap. You need to pay more. You need to pay American dollars at least worth, right? Or about 3,000, 4,000 ringgit. That's why businesses don't like me. The idea here is not to get minimum wage, but to get most productivity. That's the whole idea that I want to talk to you about. How do you think businesses can be more productive? They hire less people, pay them better, but get more out of them using technology. How do you get these SMEs to adopt technology in their manufacturing processes?
Yeah, I think this is a really joint effort between people like Epicor to promote the ERP to the industry, but we also need support from the local government. For example, like the grant application to support the budget, and also to promote to the industry the technology, what the benefit they can get out of the ERP system.
Uh-huh.
So we keep on doing this, and the other side of the story is we actually promote more case studies, successful story, where the SME can see the benefit from other similar competition in their industry to increase their confidence in adopting the technology.
Okay, so to bring into color the local context here, a company applying for grant from MaTrade, the Malaysian trade organization, they apply Market Development Grant or MDG, and it's not that hard to get this particular grant.
Yes.
Businesses can get MDG. However, the bottom line here is that these grants, when it is given to these companies, it is taxed between 30% to 50%.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, they're not getting the whole grant. They're getting some of it. These are the kind of problems that are persistent, at least in the Malaysian context. It's not that often they get everything that they ask for.
Yeah.
And it comes to question whether or not governments are sincere in helping them out. How do you talk to these companies and try to bridge that gap between the assistance that they get from government? How do you, for instance, engage with the Malaysian government? Do you think that it's easy or hard talking to them?
Yes, this is not easy, definitely, because different countries, they have different policy. Some countries support more, some countries support less.
Yeah.
I think the consideration is really has to come from the manufacturer themselves.
Okay.
And they need to understand the benefit of using technology, how they can benefit this investment to get a much bigger return in the future. I can share with you one example. A customer in a plastic molding manufacturing industry in China, when they engaged Epicor, their sales turnover was like $300 million US.
Okay.
And they have 600 workers. And after 4 years, when we go back to do an interview, the sales turnover has actually world 4 times.
Okay.
But when we ask them how many workers have they increased, and the answer is none.
Okay.
They're still using 600 workers, but in terms of sales turnover, it's 4 times higher.
Yeah.
So that is actually make everybody more productive in the company.
And of course, that answers the question of investment, right? Because
yes.
it's not cost; it's really an investment.
Exactly.
Okay. This is a company. The company that you use as a case study.
Yep.
They are, I guess, brave enough to actually embark on this particular journey. Not all countries and not all companies in all the countries that you operate in is,
yep.
I guess, bold enough or brave enough to actually execute this kind of investment.
Yep.
What's holding them back, you think? Is it psychological issues? Or just they can't see the uptake?
I think it's really the mindset, really. Yeah, because you know most of the manufacturer, they start small. And they could grow the business without the technology in the old days.
Yeah.
All right. And that's why it's important for us to continue to promote this case study and work with the industry association and get in touch with the second generation who are more open mind, who are more technology oriented.
Yeah. So find people with Facebook accounts and talk to them more.
Yes.
I will take a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss the trends moving forward for 2020. Thanks for staying on with us. I'm with Vincent Tang of Epicor, discussing about the plights of SME in trying to adopt new technology. And those that do are actually bold enough to embrace productivity and investment moving forward. Of course, with this in mind, we look at 2020 with an optimistic lens. We try to see what is in store for us next year, particularly in the realm of SMEs. Vincent, you've been around for quite a bit. And of course, you have visited a lot of countries, a lot of markets,
yes.
a lot of industries. And the idea here is that you kind of, you know, able to actually see what's going to take off.
Yep.
Now, I don't want to look into the 5-year, 10-year plan. I just want to see what you think about that is going to happen in the next 3 to 6 months, first half of next year, particularly in the realm of SMEs. What do you think will happen?
Yeah. I think it's actually governed by the uncertainty in the market right now. We all know, you know, there's a China-US trade war going on. It's still not settled yet. And other than that, in Europe, we have a UK visit, you know, issue. So all
Brexit is still an ongoing issue, yes, of
course.
Yeah,
so in Hong Kong, where I came from, it has been, you know, like 6 months.
Yeah.
So the
of drama, turmoil, pro-democracy, Beijing versus whatever. Yeah, that never ends.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like it will end anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So with this uncertainty, what I see is the adopting of the technology will still going on, but in terms of this decision making, it could be slower. People probably like to observe what's going on before they make a final investment.
Do you think that because of these global challenges and global risks that lay abound, most of these SMEs would not, I guess, export more? They would just, you know, do more locally, domestically?
Yes or no. It would depend on the location. Say, for example, if we break it down Asia into North Asia and Southeast Asia,
yeah.
I do see a slowdown in North Asia, say, for example, in China, especially in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
But actually, that creates opportunity for Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Because if the China manufacturer, they move out China, where would they going?
Vietnam. Right?
Vietnam, Indonesia, Malaysia,
yeah.
or even Thailand.
Yeah.
So that actually help the business growing, adopting the technology even more urgently need
yeah.
because they need a system who can manage the China operation as well as overseas operation in Southeast Asia country. So it depends on whether it's we are talking about North Asia or Southeast Asia.
Okay, let's talk about Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
A market that is seeing vibrant growth. Very recently, the World Bank has issued the 2020 growth report, And as a collective, Southeast Asia will grow anywhere between 5 to 8% next year. And this is greater than China, which is expected to slow down. And because there's a lot of growth coming in from Southeast Asia, do you think that the markets for export still remains competitive if you know, SMEs in Malaysia start thinking about exporting to Europe or America? Those are the next, you know, frontier that Malaysian SMEs should target. Is that a possibility for them to do so in the first half of next year?
Yes, definitely. Yes, I do think like this. In fact, if you look at apical business in FY19, actually Southeast Asia continue to have a double-digit growth.
Okay.
So I will see the trend will continue for FY20.
Okay. Global risks tend to normally not affect SMEs in terms of production, maybe in terms of exporting market, but production might not be an issue. It's more of a local issue in terms of labor laws, labor cost, those kind of problems. Do you think that productivity in SMEs in Malaysia as well as in Southeast Asia is going to see any risk in 2020?
No, I don't think so. I think the adoption of technology is actually getting better and better in Southeast Asia.
Okay.
Say for example, in Indonesia, the year before, the apical business was quite okay, but for the last two years, actually the growth is really big. And I see a lot of manufacturing company, they have two trends. The first trend is they are using a small ERP software, but when they grow bigger, they need much richer functionality, ERP software like Apical. The other trend is some of the customer, they have been using the top number one ERP software, but they are too big for them. And the maintenance cost is too high for them.
You're and buying then, a Ferrari when you just need to go to the market.
Exactly, and then they move down to the apical level. So I will see the trend is they will switching system from one to another to have a better ERP solution to help them to grow the business.
Switching cost is expensive, right?
Not really. I share with you one case in Indonesia, a customer that we are currently working with. The annual maintenance call they are paying for the ERP maintenance on year basis is $230K,
okay,
which is really high.
Yeah.
But if they purchase Apical software, probably they only pay two-year or three-year maintenance like that, and then they can have an Apical system in the factory to help them to automate the operation.
The problem is SMEs don't know what size fits them. I mean, I don't blame them. They're not in the IT business. They're doing whatever they want to do. So how do you get SMEs to actually know what they need?
Yeah, that's a good question. In fact, there's a third-party consulting company in the
market.
More
money then. Consulting means money, that's it.
Yes, but it's not a big investment. It could be like
all consultants say that also.
It could be like a few days assessment to get a whole list of requirement for the company. And then they can send out the requirement to all the ERP vendor for them to go back with a proposal.
Okay.
And then they can shortlist from 5 to 2, and then 2 down to 1.
Yeah.
But it will definitely help. It's a small money investment, but it will help for the non-ERP people who can choose.
It's just plain logic. If I don't know anything about it, get a consultant, tell me what I can know about it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. It's been great actually speaking to you. And I wish you further good travels moving forward and a happy new year. That was my conversation with Vincent Tang of Apical. If you missed any part of this interview, just head on to Astro One and look for Notepad over there. Also, you can watch these kind of interviews on your mobile devices. Just download the freshly minted, newly minted, and newly launched, revamped, all the adjectives that I can use about the newly launched app of Astro One. Get that app wherever you get your application, either from Google Play or the Apple App Store. Until next time, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.